Hello and welcome to the last in season 4 of Medivha Podcast. This is the modern audio drama indie voice acting podcast made with love just for you. Yeah, I'm talking about you. Yeah, thank you sincerely so much for listening and sharing it and passing it on to your good friends and just generally listening, really. I do hope you enjoy this jolly chat today with Zachary Fortescorm and Maddie Searle chatting all things their new actual play show Realms Pod. Just what does acting in one of those entail? Let's find out, shall we? Enjoy! Bum 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 bum. Hello world, this is the exciting season finale to one of the most amazing, I think, Medivha seasons we've ever had. And to top it, like proper cherry, not pop it, which would be different, I have the wonderful Zachary Fortescorm and Maddie Searle with me today. Hello, folks.
Hello.
Screaming, fireworks, cheering. And I now have to turn down my game because...
I forgot I was whispering earlier, and now I'm too loud. Hang on a second.
It's okay, we can just do ASMR for the audience. Hello.
Oh, I'm just going to get a box of packing peanuts and take them out one by one.
This is a podcast we need. Okay. Right, where were we? We were doing cheering. Let's do some more cheering. Yes. I am hugely excited to speak to you. I have the utmost respect for both of you, both as creatives and also just amazing people.
Oh, well, thank you.
Honestly, sincerely, and every time I meet you, you light up my life. So yeah, thank you for all of your wonderful contributions to the audio fiction world so far. And the reason why we're chatting today is because you've been doing something called collaborating, innit?
Yes.
what adventures can you tell us that you've been on of late, and how can we hear it?
Well, so Maddie's very kindly spent the last 6 months working with me on a new show. She's in our first season. Myself and James, who made The Orphans, came together to make a show called Realms of Peril and Glory, which is a new actual play podcast. And we delve into kind of different systems, kind of like Dungeons and Dragons, and we tell kind of improvised stories. And one of the players in our first season is Maddie.
Hello. Hooray. Well, Maddie, and you've like had this meteoric rise of excitement. I think I hear your voice on various things. And also, you've been in the production booth as well, doing all sorts of fun shenanigans. So yeah, just let us know like what you've been up to lately and how you got involved in this, if you wouldn't mind.
I think most recent things that I've been doing, I've been editing on Stella Firma, which is coming to its end. It's third season is done and we're just doing bonus content right now.
There's people crying at that stage.
Sad times. And I worked on Inexplicables, which is Rusty Quill's Patreon exclusive drama about supernatural folks in a small northern town.
Amazing.
So that was fun.
When you say worked on, you had quite a major role, didn't you?
I'm doing the classic woman thing. I'm doing the classic woman thing. Stop me. Yeah, I was the showrunner on that. I'm going to own that.
There we go. It was your show.
Yeah, it was mine, all mine. And then with The Realms of Peril and Glory, Zach asked me if I wanted to play a game. And I was like, yes, of course I do. Tabletop gaming is the best. Let me play all of them.
And now, truly you are. You're in so many of them.
Yes, and I want more, please. I am needy.
Well,
so
if you have space in your life, then whoever's listening and wants to, get Maddie on your show, quite frankly.
Yes.
So why is it amazing on the landscape? What's so groovy about it that people need to listen to it?
Shall I go in on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, funnily enough, I prepared an answer. It is down to this first season that we're doing is called Veil, and it's this kind of murder mystery epic hero's journey through a city. But really what is super appealing about the show is the incredible chemistry between the players, because I don't know if the audience isn't totally familiar with the idea of an actual play. It is using a game system like Dungeons and Dragons to tell a story collaboratively at the table. Yeah. And so we will get these players together, like Maddie, and they will be entirely responsible for their characters. They choose what routes they take. They choose every decision that the character makes. And we work together to tell an awesome story. And we are so lucky to have some of the best, not only voice actors, but performers. And creative minds at this table across the show, but especially in Vale with Maddie. And we also have Liz Campbell and Pip Gladwin, who come from Wooden Overcoats. Laura Gerling, who's in The Orphans. Incredible creative people. And James Barbarossa, also from The Orphans, does the voice of all of the other characters.
Everyone else.
I think even his beard could act on its own, right? If he still has it. Like, how is acting for this show been different to perhaps other things that you've been having adventures in?
Well, because I got to create the character, I got to pour so much of myself into her. And so by now she feels like a real person. And it's only happened to me like a few times. One time when I was at school, I played someone and I was just like, oh, I get her. I get her so much. And now I'm like, this is like that times a million. So
where does that start? Could you talk us like through? So when Zachary's first said, do you want to come play? You're going, yeah. What happened then? How did you start with building this wonderful character?
So I had an initial pitch. I wanted to play a necromancer, but one that didn't want to be evil, wanted to be good, and wanted to just like take down all the prejudices and biases people have against necromancers. And then Zach and I had a conversation over Zoom or whatever platform we were using at the time.
Yes.
And both about the character's backstory and how she would fit into the world, and also the stats that she would have in the game. So like how intelligent she would be, how charismatic, strong, wise, etc.
Okay.
Now, and I like what weapons she'd use.
And you didn't put that information into like a Word document. Was it into a specific website or thing?
Yeah, it was into a, because the 13th Age was the system we were using, so we used the 13th Age character sheet to get all that information down. And I also had my battle cheat sheet with all my spells and abilities in it.
Oh, can you tell us what you can do? Because that's very exciting.
Oh, goodness.
Well, hashtag spoilers, I can create the thing is, there are some abilities that are part of the game, and yes. But as a player, you can flavor them however you want. I chose to make one of my spells essentially, it's called Unholy Blast. It doesn't say what it looks like, it doesn't say,
which end does that come from?
Yeah, it doesn't say about that. But I chose to make it a tidal wave of blood.
I've recently just sound designed that, actually.
I'm just nice. Seeing twins right now, but yeah. Exciting. Yeah. Okay, groovy. So and as far as that, did you design like the look of the character too?
I thought about what she would look like. She's a half dark elf, so she's got kind of pale blue skin, like slightly pointed ears, dark blue hair, purple eyes, and she wears sort of slightly kind of pastel gothy type clothes.
See, what is wrong with me? I'm jealous of your blue hair, and it's not even a real person, but it is.
And it's naturally blue. She doesn't even have to dye it. It's just naturally blue. Okay.
Zero maintenance for that.
Yes, exactly.
Glorious. My dream is blue hair. my blue rinse in a few years, right? but yeah, with regards to like how that then joined in, like how did you know that that wasn't going to conflict with other people's decisions and all that? Did you have that kind of engineering part in that, Zachary, or was there just collaboration that everyone just chose very different things?
it was a collaborative process, because kind of I kind of came to these guys, I came to all the players when I had kind of a very, very basic idea for like an inciting incident and a potential resolution to the grand problem, and everything else was big question marks. Okay. So I kind of came to them and I said, right, what do you want to do if you played something? And then we built the characters together, and Maddie and I went through the process of making Isadora which is the name of her character, Isadora Ravenwood.
Yes, nice. That's got mood, hasn't it?
Yes. That's all Maddie. It's all Maddie. It's all Maddie all the way down.
I'm just letting all my goth leak out, and it's great.
Love it. And so, obviously, you reached out to find Maddie because of prior amazingness on the internet that you can find, right? And I guess, you know, you've met up in person a few times too. But how did you recruit other folks? Where could a somebody who wanted to be a voice actor on a project like this be recruited by you?
So for us personally, we have reached out to kind of, people we've worked with in the past, because, look, the pitch to people was, hey, do you want to come in, do this show that is going to take you a lot of time and isn't going to see the light of day for approximately a year? So that's kind of a difficult pitch to someone you're coming in blind for. And so we did reach out to kind of people who, I knew were excellent role players already, because I'd spent time with them either playing or heard through other people how good they were. And then the second thing I looked for was, did I know them and would they be receptive to this weird pitch? So that was how we originally recruited. We've now kind of expanded out to people who don't necessarily have that RPG game experience. We actually were very lucky to have Beth Eyre and Felix Trench on the show, both of whom it was their first or one of their first actual play experiences, which was really fun to document that and watch them kind of have a go at the genre. Now that we're kind of getting to release, we might start opening it up to a more kind of a public setting, depending on how things go. But if someone in specific was like really virulent, they wanted to get on the show, they could contact us on our website, lightandtragic.com. We have a contact sheet. We'll absolutely look at it. We'll consider it. I can't promise anything. But if there is someone out there who's really keen to get on the show and wants to throw their hat in the ring, that's how they'd go about doing it.
Well, you heard it here, folks. How exciting is that? And I also have to say that I feel like now, if you say Beth Eyre or Felix Trench's names in the same sentence, a new audio fiction is born. Did you know that?
It's true.
It is. It's absolutely true. So brilliant. So you've got this fantastic call. And it's great to hear that Liz is performing too, because I know that Liz has spent time behind the scenes too. So how exciting to listen to it. Adventures. But what I'd really like to delve into for those voice actor listeners who also have a yearning to do this kind of thing is what kind of prep did you have to do, Maddie? What did you have to really do to get stuck into this exciting adventure?
Well, what was really helpful was we did a couple of test sessions to kind of test the chemistry between the characters. And it started off that mine and Laura's characters were both super chaotic. And that was wonderful for those sessions. But we realized that one of us needed to kind of be a bit quieter and a bit more introverted. And for me, that's my daily bread. So I was happy to take on that more chill, introverted role.
Oh, I hope you got a dream sequence there where you could be mental.
Yeah. And in terms of voice, I kind of, because it was my first like proper actual play recording experience, I thought I'd take it easy and not do an accent or anything. That's going to change in the future. I'm definitely doing accents in the future. But for this particular character, I just did my own voice, but just slightly higher pitched, slightly quieter, slightly more timid. And it was more about the kind of the emotion behind it rather than the accent or anything like that.
Exciting. And what kind of way around did you come to that voice? Was that like you had, because you don't have a script, right? So you've got scenarios. So how did you practice the voice that came? Did you have a little bit of script that you read out loud, or did you just think on the day improvising that work?
Yeah, it was, I think it was a bit on the day really. And I think it evolved over time as well. I think Isadora sounds more close to my natural voice at the start of the series, and I get more into a very specific Isadora voice by the end.
Yes. Exactly. You definitely found her by the end. That's the fun thing is I as someone watching from the outside, like in those early test sessions, watching you kind of like dip your toe into Isadora. That sounded a bit rude. Watching you watching you kind of explore playing the character to kind of the finale recording, which was, you know, only like I think a couple weeks ago now, where you kind of got to complete her arc for the season. It's such a huge, I saw you undergo such a huge amount of progress with her from beginning to end. It was really cool.
How delicious is that to actually, you know, be responsible collaboratively to create such a fun and exciting story, but also have your own satisfying gentle end or mad end. I don't know how you're ending.
It was great. It's great because it's like starring in your own movie. It's incredible.
Yeah. We want to do that, really, don't we? I mean, you know, I do often think that my life could be a Truman Show, but really hope it's not. and Zachary, with regards to your sort of whole prep as the, because what was your role? How would you call yourself? What was your title?
The title that I use is Game Master.
You were. I wasn't going to throw that in, but I thought you might be groovy. Yes.
Now, typically in actual plays, kind of the Game Master, for those who might not be familiar, you know, they would prepare the world. They would prepare the kind of scenarios that the players are going to find themselves in, and they would play all of the NPCs. Now, unfortunately, I decided to get a little mad, and I decided that I would give the duty of the my mouth in the world, the non-playable characters. Sorry, when I say NPCs, it's the characters who are not played by any of the players at the table. I decided to give every other character to my collaborator on The Orphans, James Barbarossa. Oh,
my goodness. You know,
which meant that he and I had to find a way to sync our two brains.
It was like Jaeger piloting.
Is that possible?
You know what? By the end. it's really interesting, though, because I ceded a lot of control. I would write down copious notes. I think my game notes in terms of for all 17 episodes was, I think, 60,000 words long, 200 plus pages.
Wow.
And I would make notes for, yeah, I would make notes for each scene and give James kind of like, right, this is what this person needs to say in the scene in terms of like, crucial information that needs to be gotten across, a general vibes, how the character might feel towards certain other people.
Yeah.
But broadly, there was a lot of free rein for James. Case in point, in the first episode, he took a character who was just literally a friend of one of the players who was meant to say, "Ah, oh, you're meant to go over there." And he turned him into a New Zealand boy who was very sad about his
dad,
huge daddy issues, and just completely took this character off in a totally different direction that I had ever even anticipated could be. And it received such a great reaction in the recording from everyone else that I was like, well, I guess he's just a part of the story now. Yeah. And so Pine Silver was born.
Wow.
And so he then became a crucial part of the narrative. And
glorious.
More so than I really anticipated when I kicked things off. So it's incredible reacting in real time. As much prepper, it is equal parts preparation and improvisation, even as a storyteller. And that's really interesting from someone who comes from a writing background.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I've spent a little bit of time with you, and I must say that your storytelling skills are just sublime. And just even just thinking after perhaps I'd had a beer or two in an Indian restaurant, and you were talking about, you know, the intricacies of potential plots for The Orphans, and how you told that story was just wonderful and exciting. So I think, you probably are one of the best games masters in the world. I'm very excited.
I appreciate that. I wouldn't qualify myself as that. I'm still very much learning, but thank you very much. I do appreciate that.
Don't disappoint me, Zachary. I'll have to come around and see you, right?
I can definitely testify to his amazing GMing skills. Yeah. So,
no need to be modest. Well, just flip the script briefly. Maddie's actually stepping into the GM seat for an upcoming series that we're doing.
Oh yes.
So this is scary, a spin-off, but fun, right?
Or say more.
Yeah, well, it's kind of how RPG is structured, is each season is going to be a different story.
Yes.
Just totally different story. Not like The Orphans where it's set in the same world. Just a completely different story. Yeah. We might return to some of the same stories, but Maddie is telling a story based around Greek mythology.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Now I know you have a love of that from a previous script, which was an award winner, right?
Yes, absolutely. The Persephone script, yeah.
Dashingly quirky award winner in 2019, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Days. Seems like 100 years ago now.
Just, I was a different girl then.
But yeah.
But, how exciting. So have you done the research? Are you in that phase right now of your adventures then to create
We were doing what we thought was the test session.
Yes.
And then everyone, like all the players, did such an amazing job, and also one of the players got very, very hurt. So yes, we were like, we kind of didn't want to get
in the game
not in real life.
Admonished them.
So yeah, it was Ella Watts, James Barbarossa, and Hedley Knights who are the players for this one.
What a team. Yes.
And yeah, they were just incredible. And we kind of thought, well, we've basically got our first two episodes anyway. let's just keep them. And so we'll be moving on to the next couple of episodes in a couple of weeks. Yes. It's using a system called Agon, which is by John Harper and Sean Nittner. So it's a system that's a bit unlike Dungeons & Dragons in that it uses like increasing sizes of dice to show how big your name grows and how much your glory is growing as a hero. Wonderful. Yeah, and there's all sorts of nonsenses like harpies and gods and magical artifacts. So it's very fun.
Sort of wonderful stuff that you find in Greek mythology.
Absolutely.
I've just got Rick Mail in my head going, shut your gob and look at my big role. But yeah, it sounds very, very, very entertaining and exciting. So that's going to be on the same feed as this one that's coming out?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got, we actually are going to have, if everything goes to plan, starting August 18th until, I believe, December 22nd, whatever the second to last week of December is going to be. Yeah, December 22nd, from the 18th of August to December 22nd, we will be having at least one episode a week release.
How glorious. That's the end of the year.
Yes, and then we will be continuing on later in 2022, and you'll be able to hear that game, the game of Agon, in 2022.
How amazing. Not to be confused with Aggie, who I think is some kind of cleaner. Well, I'd love to, if it's feasible, for us to perhaps showcase some of those clips of your show that you've been working on that's out in August. So, clip numero one. Zachary, what are we about to listen to? Who's in it?
So this is a clip from the second episode of Vale that releases on August 18th. Where Pip Gladwin's character Tor Brennan is speaking with Maddie's character Isadora, and they realize that they have a very different opinion about necromancy and about the powers that Isadora has, and they have to kind of come to terms with possibly working together.
Oh. Will they collide? Will they get on? I don't know. Let's hear.
You're aware, Miss Isadora, you must have done some research as a student. You must have looked into what it is that you are, or at least the power that you have. And are you aware historically that it has at no stage in our recorded history been used for good?
Yes, and that's kind of why I want to study and get better, and because I want to prove that these are powers that I have, and I can use them for whatever kind of purpose I want, and I want to use them for good. I want to help people, and just because the things that I can do look really spooky doesn't mean they can't be used for something positive.
You're such an inspiration.
Thank you. That's so kind of you to say.
Well, it would be churlish of me to rebuff somebody who wishes to do good. And I suppose a magical power is no different from a sword, I suppose. A sword in the wrong hands is a dangerous thing. It's not inherently good, it's not inherently bad. And perhaps the art of raising and enslaving the dead is no different. But having said that out loud, I'm not entirely convinced. But I suppose I shan't slay you this day, necromancer. Shall we leave it at that?
That's probably not as comforting as you would hope, but I am willing to see how it goes.
Honestly, after the clocks and then the averted explosions and the visions and the big magical teleporting cabinets, I think it's the best I've got right now.
Fair, fair.
I really like this show.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah,
very exciting. So we heard some other voices in there. I think.
Heard Pip Gladwin, who plays Torbrennan. You heard Laura Gerling, who plays Meredith. You heard me snicker a couple times. You also heard the snicker of Liz Campbell. I don't believe you heard James in that, but.
I kind of think that this makes everybody listening want to go along the lines of necromancer, you shall not die this day. I think everyone should just try that on their lips and see how it feels. It's quite
you shall not die this day, yes, please, necromancer.
Maddie, as well. So brilliant. And as far as sort of, setting the tone for character. So this is early days, establishing relationships, thoughts, feelings and connections. Yes.
Yeah, this was... this is the end of the second episode, and the end of the first episode, the characters kind of come to this meeting point they had not previously met, and then are immediately thrust into this life or death scenario where they have to kind of save themselves and save kind of people around them and fight together. And then now this is the moment after that where they have to kind of be like, oh, hi.
Who are you again?
Yeah.
Brilliant. And were there any, you just mentioned fighting. Like, did you have any major fight scenes? Was it like proper full-on mental?
So many excellent scenes.
Yeah, I don't want to give anything away, sure. But we definitely had some really exciting fight episodes, you could even say, because the thing is, the nature of the thing is it's like turn-based. So what would normally be like, say, about 10 minutes in an episode of anything else is really an hour. But it's so much fun. We have a particular episode where... Let's just say everyone really gets to unload on a character that they really disliked and is incredibly irritating. And there were so many great, hilarious moments where they got to really just take out their frustration on someone who was just a dick.
They deserved it, quite frankly, is what you're saying. Yes.
They really did.
Yeah. How exciting. You know, I do love a fight scene, in audio especially, because it is just fun imagining what the hey is going on, actually, isn't it? So yes. I look forward to... did you have to sound design those a little bit more groovily afterwards as well, just to talk a little bit of creative shop in that direction?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm very lucky that these guys oftentimes make very helpful illustrative noises in the fight scenes. And so I can kind of time sound effects things to that. It's not like The Orphans where everything is very meticulously sound designed. It is more a broad strokes approach because that's it, these are hour and a half long episodes.
Sure, yeah.
So less detail with that. But I think what that gives is really some really fantastic moments, some singular moments of like really awesome hits and strikes and stabs and spells, and it's great.
I can't wait. I'm very excited. Yeah, I've only ever done it once myself and bugged it up completely. I had a lovely time.
The thing is, that's the most important thing with making these kinds of shows is that everyone at the table, at the recording, needs to be having fun. If you're not having fun, you're not going to have fun listening to it.
Yeah.
And I think that's very much, isn't it, perhaps up to your guidance as well of making things, yeah, shaping things, pushing things in certain directions and getting what you want from the story to a point, and then the characters take over and layer in some beauty on top or some grotesque, you know. But yeah, so Maddie, can we hear from you about what other adventures can we hear about now? We've just got one more clip to share. So yeah, tell us about what else you're showcasing today.
So the next clip that we have is a little conversation between Isadora and her romantic interest, Zektog Gralshak, played by James Barbarossa as Zektog as an NPC.
That's
true. they're a student in the city, and they have the most awkward romance you could possibly imagine. It's just like...
Like real life.
Yeah. The great thing about playing Isadora is that I'm extremely shy and awkward, so I just got to... And so if I messed up my words, or if I was a bit, like, quiet, or it's weird in any way, it was just the character. It wasn't me, it was the character. So, that's what you're about to hear.
We all love that gentle, awkward romance, though, don't we? So, yeah, let's...
This clip just picks up from the end of the last one.
Superb. Okay, so let's hear it now.
I've heard about this, you know, the crazy undead power roaming the streets of the city, you know, skeletons and zombies walk among us, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I have all this power, but I don't have a say in how it manifests, and so... I might just want to protect my friend from something scary, and a whole bunch of zombies just come out of the ground. So, it can be a bit disconcerting.
I was going to say that really doesn't seem like the person in front of me, I have to say. You know, you don't seem scary and threatening at all, really.
Yeah, I'm glad about that. I don't really want to be scary,
I think you're awesome, you know.
Thank you.
I love that so much.
Everyone wants someone to say that, really, don't they? I think you're awesome.
And the thing is, after that moment, Isadora gets up on stage and sings a song.
Yeah, because it's open mic night. Oh. we hyped up that episode so much, and it was totally so worth much. All the hype. It was so good.
Yeah,
it's absolutely worth it.
We have three songs in open mic night, two of which have lyrics.
Right.
How exciting. It's incredible. Okay, so Maddie, how do you want to do this?
So I guess I should see how good it is. Oh god, why did I decide to do this?
You've had the vodka, you'll be fine.
So, all right, charisma. Natural 17. And my normal charisma modifier is 4, and then another 2, so that's a whole bunch.
Yeah, so you definitely get this. Just the checks get progressively harder as it goes, but now because you've succeeded this one, you can roll the next one with advantage, but you obliterate that check.
All right.
Next check.
Natural 18. So even better.
Yeah, what? 100% you obliterate it. Yeah.
It's all gonna sound on a steady
All right, final check.
Oh no.
15.
As you prepare to perform your final verse, you look out into the crowd and catch the eye of Zektog. You feel a pang of nervousness in your stomach that you truly hadn't anticipated.
He'll sit on his white horse bane, and I'll bike out his bonny blue rein, and we'll walk his golden hair on the nest when it grows pale.
Yay! Well done.
I'd love Matt. I just want to shout out Maddie. I had the idea for open mic night because one of the other characters, their kind of thing is they are a musician, they are a rock star, and obviously they were going to perform at the open mic night. But then Maddie kind of came in and was like, "Hey, I'd also really like to do a song." Yes. And you fully just put yourself out there and sang this song.
This is so exciting. I know of Maddie's prowess on the stage circuit through Y2K, right? There's an episode coming out shortly. Which I worked on with you and some amazing folks, and you played a fantastic comedian character jumping up there and telling it how it is. So I've already seen you being amazing, and to hear that it's singing, this is it now, right? There's no excuse. This episode has to end with some kind of Medivha season 4 finale song. It's happening. See what happens. I've said it. So, but yeah, how delicious was that? The dynamics there between you as well, and how you've described the character as well, and knowing that James is opposite you, I think is just so exciting. As recording it, were you all in the same space, or has COVID times beaten us into submission to putting us into four corners of the earth? Or
no, we were not in the same space, unfortunately. You know, the pandemic's been a horrible time, but
still is, right.
Without the pandemic, we likely wouldn't have been able to do the show in the way that it is, just because the feasibility of getting, you know, six people into a room together over the course of 6 months to record 17 hour long plus episodes is unfeasible, especially when Maddie lives in Scotland. Some of us live in London. Others are in Dorset, you know. So I would have loved to have been in the same room as these lovely people, being so close to remote technology now allowed me as a producer to kind of really get these guys working creatively together in a way that wouldn't have been possible without.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And did you choose a visual connection or just an oral one?
Yeah, it was a visual connection. We recorded on Riverside, which is a great recording platform. I can't shout that out enough, because we could see each other on a call, but it was also recording us locally as well at the same time. It was amazing.
Yeah, I had my first experience as a voice actor in that on Friday for an Audible project, and that was it was very exciting to utilize. And also, as a voice actor, I had to do a lot less than I have to do in my own remote system at home. So yeah, Riverside FM, folks, check it out and have a look. I think we'll perhaps take a delve into that in future episodes perhaps, and compare some different ways of connecting, because
I do have opinions on that, by the way.
Okay.
If you're looking for someone to discuss recording platforms,
yes, please.
I'm your boy.
Yeah, you're in. I love a bit of passion. It's interesting, you know, from the voice actor's perspective, and of course the producer, you know, you get what you want to get is not necessarily what you thought you would, for good and bad reasons too. let's jump back in on that though, with regards to that scene with you and Lek, the character. And did you have copious notes on those events happening, or are those a surprise at that point in time given to you by Zach?
No, very much only my own notes that I could scribble manically in between scenes.
Okay. so
all the notes are on Zach and James's side. Okay. My only notes were my stats and if there was like a significant name or clue that we could scrounge up from the story. I was like, oh, maybe this is the bad guy. Mm. So those, yeah. otherwise, it's just completely off the top of my head.
Okay. And as far as like, you know, the dice aspect of things, so would it be that you would roll that dice to see how affectionate you were towards each other, for example, or is that not how it works?
I think it's if, I think it's more like if there's a chance for it something to fail, then that's kind of, right. If it's a character moment, then you can just kind of let it be and see what happens. Though there are times when, particularly mine and Laura's character were trying to lie to each other, and that was a recurring theme throughout the series that went right to the end.
Each other.
Love it.
Yeah, but in a very
lying
loving
to
way.
Lying to each other that, about the other having an emotional breakdown.
Yeah, just like I either being like I'm fine or that person does like you.
Okay, so yeah,
it was a very interesting dynamic.
Yeah, it was great.
Sounds intriguing, and I love it that you know you have got a few good characters played by women involved in some good dynamics, right? Because I think
that was really important for me coming from it because I. The actual play space is really inclusive in a lot of ways, but there is kind of this stereotype of like four dudes sitting around a table and just, you know, playing dudes.
One of them's in a cape.
Things. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I wanted to make sure, and it was a really important thing for me personally with this show, to showcase a diversity of female characters as well as male characters.
Yes.
And not just male and female characters. We also have non-binary characters played by played by James, who are NPCs, you know, so we wanted to make sure that we were representing a diversity of genders in the show.
We're actually talking on International Non-Binary People's Celebration Day, so huzzahs to all our non-binary listeners and actors and folks
indeed
who are working hard to be amazing in the audio fiction field. So, yeah, we love you. Keep going. Super. So, yeah, brilliant. And I mean, what techniques would it I was going to say a general manager, a dungeon master need to get folks to kind of herd them in the right direction, lead them in the right way, but also tell a great story? I mean, because you've got to have acting abilities too, right? In that, I know you say you've handed the NPC stuff currently to James, but I'm sure you could handle them beautifully yourself.
Yes. So, well, it is... what I'll say, it's similar to script writing in that your foundation needs to be strong. You need to have a very strong plot, script, outline, whatever it may be. You need to make sure that that base will support your story. You can kind of go all over the place once you've kind of got that foundation. And you can do lots of crazy stuff. But if that foundation isn't strong, your story's going to fall flat. And my foundation with this was those character creation sessions with these guys. Because thing is if they build a character that is, I don't know, let's take Isadora, for instance, who wants to fight the power and like prove that, you know, necromancy can be used for good. If I just then turned around and gave her a world where everyone was like, oh, we love necromancers, you're so nice, you know, then there's nothing for Maddie's character to do. There is no conflict. You know, so those character creation sessions where we talk about, right, what is your goal? Mm-hmm. What is your background? Where have you come from? Why are you doing these things? What is motivating you? Those sessions inform how I get these guys from point A to point B as effectively as possible. So so long as I keep those base motivations in mind and I weave not just my story, but their story, the characters' arcs and stories throughout, and give them plenty of clues of like, hey, you've got a text from your romantic interest saying they're going to be at this open mic night. Do you have anything to say about that? Do you know what I mean? If I give them hooks, if I give them things that I know will motivate these characters, then it makes my job and my life so much easier than just like ramming these random characters down a path that they have no reason being on.
I mean, that's a massive skill, I think, as well, and I'm sure will appeal to those voice actors who also write and want to, yeah, be creative and try voice acting in a way that is slightly different than sticking to someone else's written words or even your own written words, right? So how exciting. What a voice acting challenge it is to be actually that Dungeon Master role as well. I think that's something that folks should consider having a listen to. I mean, who are other people that you've been inspired by, actually? Who are the people that you think folks could listen to hear great storytelling in that vein?
Maddie, do you have any people you want to shout out quickly?
Well, in the kind of more broad streaming world, I know that both Zach and I are massive fans of Brennan Lee Mulligan on Dimension 20.
Okay.
Who is, I think, available both in streaming and podcast form. Because he's just so joyful and enthusiastic, and he loves all the characters and wants them all to do well. And he's like a benign guide on their journey, but also willing to hit them where it hurts emotionally, and not afraid to be silly. So just, yeah, I can't say enough good things about Brennan Lee Mulligan, honestly.
I need to bottle him and put him on Amazon. But yeah, other platforms that are available. But yeah,
if I could, I would drink Brennan Lee Mulligan.
Yeah, and any more folks or storytellers you think that folks should listen to as well for inspiration?
Well, for inspiration in general, I would say just consume as much media as possible.
Yes.
You know, consider what you like about something, what really gets your gears going. I love getting inspiration from, like, I sat down the other day, I went to a cinema.
What? I'm gonna
cry. I went to a cinema and I saw a film called Freaky, which was a pretty fine horror film. But it gave me a lot of ideas because I was like, oh, that's a really interesting concept. Oh, how would I take that in a different way? My mind's kind of always moving. So as I'm consuming media, I'm also considering how you might twist it or do it slightly differently. And then those kinds of ideas combine and collaborate, and you know, you listen to a random song that has a really interesting line that inspires like a cool moment, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's kind of an amalgamation of find media that connects with you.
I love that.
And mush it all together into a big lumpy pile of clay.
All the things.
And then form it into something nice.
Yeah. Glorious. Yeah.
And kind of on that similar note, I had my Isadora Ravenwood Spotify playlist that I would use for inspiration.
Wicked.
And I was just like, everyone look at this playlist I made. I love my characters so much. Aww. And probably other people are like, this isn't my kind of music, but I was super into it. And I listened to it almost every session. It was full of like The Cure and Churches and also Getting By from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, because why not?
Amazing.
So just
put a link to that on our show notes, please, so other folks may listen. Is that allowed?
For sure. That's okay with you, Maddie?
Absolutely.
Yay, let's share it with the world.
And I'd just like to quickly shout out, while I'm providing inspiration about cool dungeon masters and things,
shout out.
I got two podcasts I want to shout out. I would love to shout out Facing Fate, which is basically their whole thing is they do similarly to what we do, actual play, and they record it, but they instead they remove pretty much all of the mechanical aspects from the recording and just make a really cool story. It's a really interesting listen, and I would highly recommend going and checking them out. It's by the people who make another really great actual play show called Dungeons, as in dumb dungeon, and Dragons.
Yes.
And I would also love to shout out an Australian show called Dragon Friends, which is just hilarious fun of Australian comedians playing Dungeons and Dragons in front of a live audience with live accompaniment. It is hilarious and energetic and just wonderful.
Also, great place to practice your Australian accent, right? So, yeah, groovy. Thank you for those recommendations. Awesome. And I just wonder, like, because of the, it sounds epic. Like, you, how many hours you've got? You 18 hours of this beautiful.
We have 12 hours fully produced, ready to go out right now. That is across 3 episodes of a miniseries that we have. For Patreon, and I believe we're 7 episodes into production, totally finished episodes for Vale. And so there's still 10 more episodes. And let me tell you, that finale recording was 5.5 hours long.
All in one go.
In one go. We sat for 5.5 hours from.
You got like new skin at the end of that. That's
PM
amazing.
To about 1 in the morning. On a call and just shotgun the ending. Uh-huh. It wasn't my expectation to go that long.
No.
It just happened.
We just had to know. We had to know what happened to all these lovely characters.
Yeah. How exciting. So, I mean, that, aside from that time at longevity, that long sessions kind of aspect and guiding things, what are the hardest things about approaching a kind of show like this? Enlighten us. What things have you found difficult or challenging?
What do you think, Maddie, for you?
Now my brain has gone completely blank. Apologies.
That's okay.
I think I'm finding it hard to think of things because it was just so much fun and I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah. The hardest thing is not to keep wanting to add more, right?
That's actually what I've written down. I wrote down was actually genuinely keeping it to time. And that's not something you guys really had to worry about so much, I don't think, Maddie. Unless you did worry about that, in which case, tell me.
No, we were just chaotic beings of nonsense who would just keep going indefinitely if you let us.
Yes, because you guys couldn't see the timer. I have a timer on my end where Riverside shows me how long we've been going, and I know roughly how long an episode is meant to be, and I'm just like, I've got to find an ending in the next 20 minutes. No, but it is genuinely like, we originally, our goal was 10 to 12 episodes, and as you've heard, we went to 17.
Yes.
So keeping it to time was the most difficult part for me. There was time towards the end where we because we have Christmas content lined up.
Yes.
Already recorded.
Oh, wow.
And we were hitting Christmas the more episodes we released. I was like, dear God, we have to finish this before Christmas.
Well, and regards to that timing thing, so you wanted each show to be around an hour and a half, I think you said earlier. And
yeah.
How did you solve problems to try and crunch things down?
Well, we didn't. Normally, I mean, my plan in terms of running the game is always run it to the time that you want it to be with a little extra. So I would normally run recordings ideally to around an hour 45-ish.
Yep.
We could normally cut about 40 to 20 minutes of, you know, maybe we take a 10-minute break. Maybe there's just a chat about rules that the listener don't really need to hear. Those can kind of be cut out of the show. So that helps me is formatting the show in the recording, ready to kind of get in there and go. I'm very lucky after episode 6, I've recruited 2 wonderful voice editors who are helping me get the show done on time. That's
Let me name and shame them.
Hang on. It's Kai Gwill and Pritchard of Chain of Being, a wonderful podcast you should check out, science fiction, and also Catherine Stanley, who edits for, it's the Dirty 20, who does a lot of edits for other wonderful productions. Great people. Highly recommend working with them.
How exciting. Well, brilliant. And I'm glad that you've got to the point where you are yearning to now release it to the world. And I just wonder, as a kind of more or less rounding question, so why should actors be clamoring for roles in things like this show, Maddie? What is it that is so exciting and different to working on a scripted show or something else that's slightly different in style?
Well, I think you both have a great amount of creative control over your own character and what they do, but then you also have an amazing amount of collaboration with both the GM and the other player characters. Mm. And it's just those kind of very natural character moments that just come about organically that feel amazing to perform. It's just an incredible experience that I can't recommend enough.
Yeah, and I suppose,
and they're truly yours as well, right? Those character moments.
Yeah, yeah. And I suppose emotions wise as well, you have different realms to challenge you depending on where the story's going. That might be, probably for me when I did it, it's a bit of therapy as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. I got some parental issues out in that game. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Never mind.
And from your perspective, same question really, Zach, what do you think actors would love about being involved in this kind of show? What is the challenge? What is the fun? How does it happen?
Yeah, it the fun is really what Maddie said. It's the collaboration. Mm. You know, you get to truly inhabit this character for an amount of time. I can't quote a direct reference for this, but I've heard it said that
singing starting.
That your brain captures your game memories like real memories. Aww. As in the actions that you're taking in the game are being recorded like you are doing them.
Wow.
And so people often come away with these incredible, and I know it's happened for me, incredible memories of these wonderful things that they've achieved and done. And it really is an opportunity to connect with a character and a person and other characters and inhabit their experience and perform these wonderful, fantastical actions that you don't get to do in your day-to-day life. And yeah, sometimes it's also a bit of therapy if that's cool with everyone else at the table.
Yeah, safety tools in place.
Yes.
Safety tools in place when playing. Highly recommended.
I mean, when you say that, like, what do you do to actually ensure that that is a safe space for sharing?
Well, there are various kind of systems. Maddie, you used one recently on our Aegon recording called Lines and Veils. Can you mind talking about that a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. So with Lines and Veils, lines are things that you just do not want to include at all. You just go around the group of people at the table or in the recording and say, under no circumstances do I want this to appear in my story, thank you very much. And then with veils, it's more like things where you sort of draw a veil over it. It's kind of like behind a curtain. You can reference it, but you don't want to look at it in detail. Like, for example, sex scenes, you might want to suggest that a couple of characters have slept together, but you don't want to look in excruciating detail at how that occurred.
Yes.
So those are the kind of things. And there's also a useful one called the X card, where if a player's feeling uncomfortable at any point, they can either make an X with their arms, or they can put an X in the chat if they're playing online, or they can just say X, and then that's a sign to everyone to just be like, okay, we're straight into territory that's not comfortable. Let's just change the subject, and we don't need to ask why, because yeah, it's just a nice way of a shorthand of saying, right, let's just change that. But luckily I've never had to actually use it, because usually working with very like respectful GMs and players who know not to cross those kind of boundaries, but it's very helpful to know that that's there in case something is triggering.
For sure. I mean, Maddie, you know, a couple moments in Vale where we strayed into not triggering territory, but in terms of deeper emotional territory for your guys' characters, where you went through some very difficult moments. And yeah, it was kind of in that game specifically, because we all knew each other, there was discussion before where it's like, look, this is gonna get heavy, especially at this point in the game, and made it very clear to them, it's like, look, if we need to stop for any moment, you just say. If you need to talk to me privately, you can do that. It's just important, because like we said, if your brain is recording these like actual memories, that works for the good and the bad. And if bad things happen in the game that you don't feel comfortable with, you need to make sure that you say something, yeah, or just make sure that you remove yourself from that where you're able to. And safety mechanics empowers players and GMs alike to make sure that they are playing in a space where they are comfortable.
Superb. Thank you. And I think that's brilliant to make a very underlined and big circled important message, really, that is key, underlying the safety of the actors and everybody concerned. I think that's wonderful. and talking about you know, it is a jolly kind of experience from what I gather. So, yeah, I just wonder if you can share any specific moments that surprised or excited or made you laugh so much that you hurt. Is there any things we should look out for as being particularly wonderful episodes to listen to?
Oh, I need to think. What do you reckon, Maddie? I'll let you know if it's a spoiler.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking of, in terms of things that aren't very spoilery because they're very early on in the show, You Filthy Timepiece is definitely up there.
Oh, a beautiful moment. Pip Gladwin fully sprints up the staircase towards a clock, uh-huh, and bellows, "Have at you, filthy timepiece." And it... killed.
Wielding a two-handed greatsword.
Oh, that needs a t-shirt, right?
Oh, I've made it. It's available on the merch store.
Well, that brings us beautifully to where can folks find you and support you? So tell us, so people listen, write it down and go there straight away.
For sure. You can head over to any podcatcher, presumably wherever you're listening to this, and just type in Realms of Peril and Glory. We've got a big, colorful cover art RPG, so you can find us, and our first episodes launch on the 18th of August. You can hear the first three episodes of Vale, and it is a triple whammy of great storytelling and great performances, yes, and great music and great everything, and I'm really proud of them. And you can find myself personally at ZachFG on Twitter.
Superb. And Maddie, where can folks also find your amazing wares, storytelling wise, of everything you've spoken about earlier?
You can find me on Twitter at Maddie_abstract, and my pinned tweet is a link to my Podchaser profile, so that will have all the various many podcasts that I've worked on, in there. And there's also links in my bio to my personal projects, like the Prickwillow Papers.
Yes, Prickwillow Papers.
Superb. Yeah, just feel free to hop over and check it out.
Do anything that has the company name Snazzy Taper is obviously got to be legendary, right? But thank you both so much for coming to play on here and tell folks of the wonderful fun you've had. And you know, this podcast has all been about just sharing good experience, good practice, and just thoughts on how we can have the best fun as voice actors. And I think you've both established that definitely this particular area is a wonderful place to play. So without further ado, Zachary's going to lead the song out of this final episode. So if you're ready, one, two, three, four.
It's the end of the show. Maddie, take it away.
Maddie solo. Thank you for listening, folks. Thank you to all of my guests who've appeared on this whole season. And a huge thank you to you two for coming on this finale show. I absolutely adore the bones of you and the work you do. I think is just wonderful on the landscape. So please, folks, if you haven't already, jump in and find these folks and listen to everything they've ever done ever. And then tell them how amazing they are, please, because I think it's important to start telling folks a little bit more if you've enjoyed their works that you did. So go start a new ripple of glorious positivity and do that now, why don't you? Anyway, happy days. Have a wonderful creative world for the next 6 months of glorious realms. And hopefully see you around sometime, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Woo-hoo, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Welcome to Realms of Peril and Glory, an all-new actual play podcast.
There are guided tours once a week. Come on, Darbrennan.
Come at you, you filthy timepiece.
RPG is home to hilarious stories.
The thing that kicks off a really good tale is...
When they take their tops off.
Sorry?
When you're reading, like... Don't worry.
And thrilling adventures.
There's bad guys, there's an ogre. Probably best if you stay here. Sorry, I'll be back soon.
Why am I tied up?
That was your sibling, not me. Bye.
Each season is an all-new actual play story told collaboratively at the table, featuring guest players from the Magnus Archives.
I remember being in the water, and that was awful. And now I'm not in the water, and that's... much better.
Wooden overcoats.
I am a snowman. I have one job, and that is to stand in place. I was doing that very well.
Yes, and she might come back 9 times more powerful with lots of food and kippers.
We fix space junk.
On the surface, you might look different, but you're very, very similar inside. And I can vouch for that.
And more.
What I am about to tell you stays in this room. Got it?
Don't happen know where there's like secret plans about meat and smoothies.
Ducks? Did you say ducks? Did you say duck?
You can find Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're gonna have a good laugh, then we're gonna possibly cry, and then we'll grab dinner.